The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's TweakedAudio.com.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 125 for Wednesday, November 19th, 2014. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight is Mr. Ryan Murphy from The Gamers Inn, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and Sleeping with the Elephant. Welcome, sir.
Hello, thank you. I'm back.
You're back, yeah.
I don't know how long it's been, but...
It's been a few episodes.
Yeah.
Not been crazy long.
Was I married last time we were on here? I can't remember.
I think you were just married. I remember talking about the wedding.
I hope I still sound okay. I still sound good, not stressed.
No, you sound married.
Yeah. Well, wait, is that good?
No, I have no idea. You sound no different than before.
I've heard what married sounds like sometimes, and sometimes it does not sound good.
No, you sound content, I would say. Would be the off the top. That I would pick out. Yeah. So what have you been up to since the wedding? So you've handled the whole biggest party you've ever going to throw. Sure. Life is back to normal. So what's been normal for Ryan the last few weeks?
I've been enjoying sort of this weird phenomenon called November video game releases. You always forget how busy November is for video games until you reach November once again, and we're looking at a whole pile of releases this week, and last week for that matter, with Warlords of Draenor, Assassin's Creed Unity, just yesterday Dragon Age Inquisition, and then Friday Smash Brothers. So,
oh my gosh,
I don't know how I'm gonna fit it all in, but the weekend, looking forward to it.
Yeah, you've got homework.
Well, homework. Yeah.
But what? And see, this is the thing you can sell to Ashley. Like, you have to do this.
I do.
You do.
If I don't talk about Nintendo games, I will be in trouble.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I think that's a good plan. I did touch a little bit on Overwatch last week. I was actually, your co-host Lou was on the show, and we were talking a lot about Overwatch. But he and I had not played Warlords of Draenor. So have you had any time in Warlords?
I have. I've put a good solid 5 or 6 hours into it, maybe more. I really can't remember anymore. Really into the garrisons feature, which is sort of like your free-to-play, manage your base, send your followers on timed quest type game.
Okay.
I've heard Clash of Clans being compared to, but there's so many of those types of games on iOS. Mm-hmm. The Assassin's Creed minigames, I think you played Black Flag, right?
Oh yeah, no, I played lots of Black Flag. So this is be similar to sending the ships out to do your trade work to earn more money.
Exactly. Yeah. So the garrisons start off as you're invading, you're in Draenor, you're trying to, you know, establish a foothold, and how do you do that? You build a stronghold. So you have a base, you manage it, you've got your town hall, and then you can build little or medium buildings that add to sort of your running around micromanaging. So right now I have a lumber mill, a mine, and what else do I have? A gem boutique.
And a gem boutique? Nice.
Well, that's the thing, is it tailors to your professions, right? So Blood Elf Warlock is a mining gem crafter.
Nice.
So... Right off the bat, the mine opens up, and daily you can go in and mine probably like 10 nodes of Draenor-specific materials, which is great, because one of the worst things in the world about a new expansion is running around trying to level up your professions.
Right.
So you can do it all in one spot, and you don't even have to worry about it. But the main thing that I really love is managing your followers, which you gain by doing quests in the world that you would normally do for XP, and you send those followers out on these little missions, and they return, they level up, There's like a countering system where they have specific spells that increase your chances of winning. It's a really cool distraction from the main reason you're playing World of Warcraft. I've probably done more in the garrisons than I've done actually questing in Draenor.
It's probably it probably has that new shiny feel to it, right?
Yeah, and this stuff really like puts its claws into me. I have sworn off free-to-play games many times because I'll find myself sitting there fiddling with my town when I should be playing, a bigger, better game on my consoles or on my PC.
Right.
And I always have to kick myself, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm having fun, but am I really having fun?
Yeah, the OCD kind of kicks in, and yeah, I know what you mean. I'm trying to remember the last game that I did that with. That was like a management game. Maybe it was Tiny Tower.
Yep.
Remember Tiny Tower? I enjoyed that. I mean, I thought it was fun, but I was checking in when I really should be sleeping. I should be doing other things. And at that point, it's like, why am I playing this? Like, it wasn't necessarily fun. It was more like a compulsion. It's like when I have an app that has that little red tag on it.
Yeah.
I can't leave it well alone.
Yeah. That's the thing is when I do give in and install these games, like one of the newer ones I've installed is a Spider-Man free running game.
Okay. No, I bet you that's fun.
It's super fun. And by default, I disallow all notifications, which means if I remember to check it, I check it. If I like, oh, this will be done in 5 hours, I'll remember to check it at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then I do it. And if I forget, it's not like my phone is constantly reminding me.
Mm.
And it wouldn't be so bad if these apps just say, hey, your thing's done. Come back when you can. What actually happens is it'll say that, but then it'll also say, like, you haven't logged in 8 hours. Your guy is crying. You should come in here and play.
Mm.
You know, and it's just, it's naggy, right? And I don't need more distractions, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So I immediately turn off notifications. Unless the app really, like, if the app is from, like, an established developer that isn't interested in sort of poking and prodding, I'll turn it on, or if they're super useful. But like anything from Gameloft or anybody else, like I just turn them off by default. It's not worth the trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what about the other titles? I mean, like I really liked Black Flag, but I've heard that Assassin's Creed is kind of buggy.
See, that's the thing is I was really spoiled by Warlords of Draenor. Well, I say I should make my point and then immediately backtrack because I was going to say Warlords of Draenor is running perfectly right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when it launched, it had a lot of issues. But they weren't like technical computer-related poor programming. They were more due to just server overload.
Just so, people, yeah. Just everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's Warcraft. It's probably got the largest player base on the planet, and it's new again, so everybody is coming back to test the waters out, right?
Yeah, it's one of those rare occurrences where you can blame society and it makes sense. but no, Assassin's Creed Unity, I was really looking forward to it, and I got it on PC. I bought a new video card and it came free with it. And I love Assassin's Creed. I buy everyone, I play through them all, and I just adore them. And this one has PC problems. And as illustrated on the many like faceless Tumblr images that you've seen, I have not had that occur to me. I guess it comes from having an unpatched game, but having a beefier system, it certainly makes up for probably some of the glitches that are there.
Right.
But from what I've played, it's another Assassin's Creed, and that's what I was looking for, so I'm looking forward to playing more.
Yeah, and you played Black Flag on PlayStation 4?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so I played Black Flag on Xbox 360, and I thought that it was good, but I thought the graphics were a little bit shaky on the 360, so I'd imagine that your PC is probably running things pretty slick.
Yeah, no, my PC's, like, I just got the new NVIDIA 970 graphics card, which came out in October.
Mm-hmm.
I was due up for an upgrade. I'm 3 years behind. And
Wow.
Yeah, Titanfall, I popped that in. And usually computer graphics cards are good for 2 to 3 years. And Titanfall, I had to like really turn the settings down to like medium. And I was like, might be time to pick a game and aim for that to get a new graphics card, which is with Dragon Age Inquisition, that's what I was like, okay, I need a new graphics card for this. And again, I played that on PC, and same sort of thing related to Assassin's Creed. It's like something weird is going on that shouldn't be going on. So I tweak settings, I Google, and I shouldn't be doing this at quarter after midnight, because obviously I stay up late to play these games when they launch.
Right.
And I'm sitting there at quarter after 12 saying, like, I just want to play the game. I don't want to be fiddling with settings. What am I doing?
Yeah.
So that's why console games are so great. You just put it in and you run.
Maybe have to deal with a little bit of a load time in between levels.
Sure, but like, hey, I'll take that.
Pee break, you know? Like, yeah. Maybe get up and stretch.
Or check your free-to-play games. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
That is a big concern for people. Like, obviously, the graphical bump they get from PCs, PC games. I say it's negligible. Hardcore PC people will probably say, like, oh, no, if you look at the screens, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare definitely looks so much better on PC. Sure, whatever. It looks relatively the same. Sure, it's got a slight edge on PC, but the load times are always something that people say, yeah, like, oh, it's so slow on my console. It's like, well, what can you do, right?
Yeah,
at least it looks good.
Yeah, for me, I've noticed graphic differences and stuff like that. I mean, like, for the longest time, the PC games that I had were not really graphic intense. You know, like, Warcraft is not really pushing graphic cards these days. I say that the last one that I played was Pandaria, so not Warlords. For me, it was more of a comfort thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do I want to kick back on the couch and relax and play Batman, or do I want to sit at the computer for more hours and play Warcraft? Because I don't want to play Warcraft with a controller. That's a keyboard mouse thing for sure. Yeah. You know, if you can split the difference, and if you happen to have a PC in the living room, then, I mean, like, hey, you know, you might be able to get the best of both worlds, long enough, you know, controller cord, all that kind of stuff, then you can split it. But I do appreciate the whole plug and play thing. Cause back when Chad and I, God, this would have been 15 years ago, cause he would have been still living in the city. He'd come down here to the apartment and we would play, Call of Duty United Offensive. Mm-hmm. And at the time that was a newish game, and both of us had to like tweak our graphics settings and get everything just right so we could actually play and not have too much lag during multiplayer. And like we would come down to play at like 8 or 9 o'clock, and we wouldn't start playing until 10:30 because we would be messing with graphics settings. And whenever we played console stuff, it was just in, done, you know, you're off to the races 5 minutes after Chad walks in the door. And that I can certainly see the appeal now when my time is so limited because I've been so busy. If I have an hour to sit down and play a game, I want to spend that entire 59 minutes and 30 seconds playing that game, not tweaking settings and wondering why graphics cards aren't working and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, some people, like, I'm kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to gaming. I try to, you know, if I want to play something on a specific system, I will, you know, make a point in trying to get that system in my house rather than be like, well, I'm a PC gamer, so I'm not going to play that game because it's not on PC. Mm. And I don't know, like, I kind of feel bad for people who just solely focus on one platform because they feel this allegiance to the system. But the funny thing is that, like, there's no one on the other end feeling allegiance to them. Like, that company thinks they can do better on other systems, they'll do better on other systems. And I just never understood that, like, fierce loyalty that people have for systems. It's really weird to me. And when you say, like, something like that to people, like, oh, you know, I just booted up my console and I'm good to go, it's like, yeah, but it's not on PC. It's like, well, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm having fun. Why does it matter?
What's the difference? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that you do multiplayer more on PC than you do on console?
Lately, yeah. I mean, it really depends on where the gamers are, right? With the next-gen systems, I've found a bit of a split. Like, a lot of my gaming friends sort of either stuck on the previous gen or moved, just started playing more games on their PC because they didn't want to buy a new console.
Mm.
I'd say it's sort of split. Like, Destiny on PS4, playing a lot of multiplayer there. And then on the PC, there's Smite and WoW. And, you know, I think by sheer volume with WoW, I mean, it could be said, like, more multiplayer is being played on PC. But I am like you. I enjoy playing my games on the console just to sit back. Doesn't matter if I'm playing with others or just single player. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you played Dragon Age yet, or is that still to be opened?
No, I have dug into that one. I did get it working. It's got a few little glitches. Today I was trying to open it and it just wouldn't load. And I'm like, what's happening? But it looks amazing. It's so beautiful. I don't know if you've seen the screenshots, but that thing, Frostbite Engine, like, turned all the way up. Just as it's weird. Like, you look at it and it's like, I've never seen anything like this in video games. It's incredible.
Nice.
And the stories, I love BioWare's storytelling when it comes to the Dragon Age franchise, and just the callbacks to the previous titles, just because there's characters that are surfacing up in your party and you can, like, talk to them, like, so how is this person doing that was, like, featured two games ago? It's like, yeah, he or she is all right. And it'll be, like, a conversation. It's a really cool nod. But that game's combat is interesting and different. It's more like tactical RPG as opposed to third person action.
Right.
Eventually, like, if you want to survive, you have to pause the game, issue commands to your party members, and then unpause and start to attack again. If you don't do that, like, right now I'm early on, so I can kind of just focus on my own guy.
Right.
But I found in previous titles, if you didn't, like, pause it and break it down, you would just get swamped and the guys would take you on and you'd be dead.
Right.
So it's a different game. I really enjoy all the talking. If anyone were to watch me play it, they would just get so bored because I'll sit there and go through every conversation. You know, even like, investigate more. What's your history? How does this work? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just such a rabbit hole. But it would be so boring to watch.
I had that. I don't want to say it was a problem, but that was my Mass Effect experience. Like, I had the time, so I decided to go in and ask all the different questions, you know, a lot of times in Mass Effect. It wasn't a quick playthrough. It was my very first experience with the franchise, and I had all three of them accessible. So I just dug into everything, got all the lore that I wanted, and tried to make the best. You know, I took it seriously. I thought, you know, I've got the time. Like, let's really throw myself into the role-playing and see what happens. Yeah. And I enjoy that, but I found that because it's not a movie, like, if you're watching a movie and it's an intense story, you know, and you're paying attention really closely, you only have to really do it for 2 hours. You only have so much material that you have to kind of embed in your brain. But when you're doing video games, especially if it's like a trilogy and you're doing all of this digging, it's a lot more hours as far as content goes. And I do find sometimes it's hard to retain, you know, mm-hmm. people's names, was that significant, all that kind of stuff. But it might be a little bit different for things like, you know, for people that play the first one when it comes out, have time to either replay it or really dig into it and then have it sit and settle and digest and then go on to like part two and part three. Mm-hmm. I had played all three of the Mass Effects kind of like back to back to back. And I did find that overwhelming, not in a bad way. It was just like, I really got it. But there was times when I was having conversations about it that I was just like, I know I'm getting this person's name wrong, or I'm confusing this with somebody else, but I know what I'm talking about in my own head. You know, the experience was correct, but my details got jumbled.
Yeah, no, I do the same thing. Even with Dragon Age, I'm just so early on, but I'm like trudging through these conversations, and eventually it's like, I should probably stop like going through these. It's just a habit. I'm not even paying attention anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to go like, you know, slash some things or do some quests or something, because eventually your brain just, you know, it's like, I can't listen to some old English sounding person talk about dragon felt. I don't know. I can't even think of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I had that issue in Skyrim too. Especially, and I do find that I appreciate it when it's a new IP or an IP that I'm not experienced with. And you have to then, like, you need all that to experience the lore and realize that it's not just another version of the Lord of the Rings. Like, you really have to understand that orcs are different here, or, you know, there's similar themes but different details that are going to be important. And you have to, you know, remember to take all that kind of stuff in. But after a while, it does kind of all start to just bleed together. You know, it's like, okay, like, do I really need the story about, like you said, dragon felt about this book? And it's like, I don't know whether this is just in there for fun or whether this book is going to be epically important in like 2 hours, like, you know, and I find that hard to kind of, I find my attention span starts to thin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why BioWare does, like, I found Skyrim was hard to tell what was just like, let's put this in for the super nerds, and then let's put this in because it's actually really key information.
Hmm.
Whereas with BioWare, their discussion wheel is just so handy, because you can tell when you're just going down a rabbit hole for the sense of information, as opposed to you know, getting key information or asking a question or responding in a way that, you know, starts a relationship with this person. Like, you just get all that information based on this little icon. And it was the same thing in Mass Effect 3. And I just love that, because, like, okay, the rest of this is just extra information. I can come back. Mm. You know, it's not important. So it's really cool. I think they started that with Mass Effect 2, and it was just a huge change. So great.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. So we know what we know what you've been playing. What have you been watching?
Well, The Walking Dead has really been my go-to content. I did see Interstellar, but I did ask you, like, if you saw it. Definitely go see that film, everybody. It's as, if you're into science fiction, it's as good as they say it is.
Nice.
I've not seen anything like it in probably a very long time.
Yeah, worth seeing in the theater?
You know what? It depends. I haven't been going to the theater a lot lately, and I think I know why. It's just because Blu-ray is just so good, you know? And the theater I'm in right now, where locally, is not that great. It's definitely like a big theater with a nice screen, and it's digital, and it sounds great. Mm. But the only reason I need to go there is if I really want to see a movie 6 months before, you know, I can buy it on Blu-ray.
Right.
And then occasionally, like, Interstellar was one of those films, Guardians of the Galaxy, another one. But if your theater is really nice, definitely go see it. I'm not sure if they probably have a nice IMAX in Halifax, right?
Yep. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So definitely go see it if you have a really nice theater. But that one, you know, is a really good one to see right away, because I found that I went in blind. I didn't know anything. I didn't watch anything past the first trailer. I didn't even know what the basic story was. All I knew is that, you know, Earth was failing, is basically all I knew. And knowing spoilers for it kind of doesn't ruin it, but just ruins the surprise. And I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. Like, I didn't even know it was 3 hours long. We went on a Friday, and Ashley, it's like, oh, you know, Connor and Adriana, Ashley's younger sister and boyfriend, invited us to go to the movies. We should go see Interstellar. And she's like, yeah. She had to work the next day, and we went at like 9:30.
Oh, no.
And we're sitting there, and I was just so excited that we were going to see Interstellar, like, beyond pumped, being super selfish. I couldn't think of anything but me getting to see Interstellar. And we're in the theater, and it's like 2 hours in. It's like midnight. And I hear Ashley, like, whispering to her sister. And then she turns to me, and, like, she says, what time is it? I'm like, it's like midnight. And I'm like watching the film. It's like one of these key moments. And she's like, how long is this movie? It's like, oh, it's like 3 hours. And she's like, Brian, I work tomorrow. It's 3 hours long. It's like, whoa, crap. I totally forgot. I didn't forget, but I totally spaced that, like, a 3 hour movie that would get us out of there at like 1 a.m. Probably not good for someone who has to wake up at 7 a.m.
No, and then you got to get home, and then you got to get ready for bed. I mean, like, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, it wasn't like till 2 a.m. we finally turned in, because we were socializing afterwards with the others. But you know, she liked the film, so luckily it worked out.
Yeah. Didn't like it. I don't understand the trend. I mean, I understand that some movies, you have to make it a little bit longer. I mean, like, the Lord of the Rings extended versions are better. I like them longer. I'm glad that they weren't 4 hours long in the theater, at least not without an intermission.
Yeah.
I know in some theaters in some areas, they do have intermissions in the showing, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, when they know the movie is 3 hours long, why they don't start it at 8? You know, have the late show be 8, not 9:30.
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. Because I've done that before, where I go into a movie and I'm thinking, like, well, I don't know how, I don't bother to check how long it is. I just kind of assume it's somewhere around 2 hours. But when they bleed into 2 hours and 30 minutes, plus you get 15 minutes of previews, and you go to a 9:30 show, I mean, like, if I'm busing, I'm screwed. You know, yeah. Like, I have to cab home from the movie theater, which is annoying, to say the least. Not to mention, like you said, if you get to work the next day, that's kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Well, I don't usually like going to the theater at 9:30 showings just because, but it was just so last minute, and Ashley actually had an exam today, so it's like, well, we're not going to get to see this in theaters, like, if we wait another week, probably.
Yeah.
The rotation here is just so odd. They always lose films, like, so quickly. Like, and the other thing, too, is, like, if you don't go see it opening weekend, they rotate it into one of the shittier theater rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, ah, you know, and that might have been, but it's just, the film kind of looked a little grainy, and I was like, oh, this will be one I pick up on Blu-ray and watch again,
because
I feel like I got the sound, but I was missing, like, the crispness. Like, you're in space, and everything just looks like it's being projected onto, like, a dirty piece of cloth. It's just not fun.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that an IMAX would be really cool.
Oh, yeah. If you have an IMAX, like, that's an experience, probably. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I think they really went all out on the space shots, and that would be amazing on IMAX.
Yeah, no, I'll have to look into that. Because there's a couple of movies that I wanted to try and catch this fall. I did manage to see Big Hero 6 last week, and that was my decision. It was Interstellar or Big Hero 6, and ultimately we decided on Big Hero 6 just because we wanted something fun to go see on Remembrance Day. But yeah, Interstellar was definitely on the list. And of course, The Hobbit, when it comes out, is something that I won't miss. But again, like, I've got the big theaters to go to for that kind of stuff. And I do enjoy, I like going to the movies at Christmas time. Like, maybe not like Christmas Day, but like over Christmas holidays. It's a nice opportunity usually to take some downtime and go check out what's playing.
Yeah, we usually go to the nice, like, when I go back to my parents, we're just shy of Kingston. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we travel up to Kingston where they have, like, the really nice big theater. And we saw Guardians of the Galaxy and The Hobbit there, first one.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's an experience. It's you walk out of there with that $50 receipt for popcorn and a ticket, and you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Nice. So. Yeah. No, for me this week, I really wasn't into the whole sci-fi fantasy stuff. I for whatever reason was just in the mood to catch something different, and it was strange. I'm trying to watch the things that I've added to my list on Netflix, cuz it just got completely unmanageable. Like, I've got over 100 things bookmarked on Netflix, and I thought, you know, I should just make a rule that if I've got the time, I should just try to watch something that's on this list. And so I just realized one evening that I was in the mood for a good story with good actors. I didn't want to gamble. Like, I wanted something I knew I was going to enjoy, and I didn't really necessarily need it to be, you know, Superman or Batman or something I've seen already. Like, I wanted a kind of a new experience. And one of the things that I had bookmarked was Trouble with the Curve, which is a film starring Clint Eastwood, Amy Adams, and Justin Timberlake, all of whom I really enjoy. It's a really, really good film. It's a story about, it's not a rom-com, like, it's certainly a drama that centers around a relationship, but it's more about Mickey and Gus, Adams and Eastwood, and it's a father-daughter situation. Justin Timberlake is the love interest. I mean, Amy Adams and Justin Timberlake have great chemistry on the screen, and that's kind of something that kind of blossoms throughout the film. But the real guts of it is about the relationship between Gus, played by Clint Eastwood, who's he's a baseball scout, and his daughter, who is a lawyer, but who knows just as much about baseball as her dad, because she grew up, you know, he was a single dad ever since she was like six or something. Mm-hmm. But there's all these kinds of issues that they have with him being on the road and how he handled it when her mother died, and what kind of a parent he was or wasn't. And it's really, really well done. It's well acted. It's a compelling story. There are some very, very funny moments, lots of quippy writing and good characters and really good acting. Like, Justin Timberlake is just a feature in Hollywood. Like, I mean, you'd have to be under a rock to not know who this guy is, right? Same with Clint Eastwood. I mean, like, he's been around forever, but you don't think of them as the actors when they're in this, even though they're these big stars. You really kind of get pulled into the characters. Clint Eastwood plays a really grumpy, grumpy son of a bitch, and he does it really well.
He, like, does that occasionally.
Yeah, but
I think he just is a grumpy bastard.
He probably is, but he does it in a, like, you're a little jealous. You're like, I think I have to be that old before I can be that much of an asshole and get away with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just, he's really, really good at it. It's almost like a little fantasy. It's like, God, I wish I could be that much of a dick. Like, it's just, because he's rude to people. He just does not give a shit. And he's got a bunch of other elderly baseball scouts that are all his buddies, and they're all traveling around the same games, watching the same minor league players. They're scouting them for, you know, the first round draft pick. And they're all just like curmudgeon-y, and you've seen the actors in a bunch of other stuff. I don't remember all their names, but you'd recognize the guys that are all around Clint Eastwood's age. And then Amy Adams, who the last two things I saw her in, I didn't really enjoy. I didn't really like her in the Muppet movie. And I wasn't sold on her as Lois Lane in Man of Steel. I liked Man of Steel a lot. I like Amy Adams, but for whatever reason, I just didn't buy the character in Man of Steel.
Yeah, she just seemed to be there
as
Lois Lane. And Lois Lane, like, remembering her from, like, past films and TV series for that matter, she was, like, she was in your face. She was there. Mm-hmm. She had a purpose. In Man of Steel, she was just kind of like, I'm the reporter they assigned to this movie.
Could have been any reporter.
Show up with a clipboard.
Yeah, give her a different name and it really wouldn't have made much of a difference, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm beginning to realize that a lot of that in both of those situations were just the writing and potentially the editing and how much time she may have had, because she's wonderful in this. Like, you feel for her, like you really enjoy, like, the spunk that she brings. She was more Lois Lane in this movie than she was in Man of Steel. You know, I mean, it's the fact that it's on Netflix, it doesn't cost you a damn thing. It's worth the 2 hours to sit down and check out this movie. I thought at first, because of the tone that it had, that it might have been directed by Clint Eastwood, but it actually wasn't. He was producing on it. But he didn't have a director role. I'm looking up the director right now as my computer spins into a beach ball of death. But I thought he might have been like a writer or something like that. But it just wasn't at all what I thought. So I was pleasantly surprised, which is nice, because sometimes you go into a situation like a rom-com and you're just like, yeah, I'm in the mood for this. I know what to expect. As long as it doesn't disappoint me, I'm happy. But very rarely are you surprised. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I was quite surprised. It's a very good film. And even if you're not into mood for a romantic comedy, just a good story, I would say that it's really good. I wouldn't necessarily watch it if you've recently lost, you know, like a loved one or a father. Like, that would be rough, because it's a heavy father-daughter thing. And if anybody is having those kind of problems, I can see it being very emotional for people, because both, like, Amy Adams and Clint Eastwood get into it.
Oh, I see. It's always interesting when you don't really, you know, connect the dots when there are, like, major life events happening in all the media you watch, and then that major life event's happening to you and you see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happened when I got married, and like, for a whole year, and now, like, I'm sure, like, down the road, like, when having kids, it's like, oh great, now everyone's pregnant on my favorite show and now I'm having panic attacks. You know, and funerals and deathbeds is always another fun one that pops up from time to time, and
yeah,
doesn't really cross your mind when it's happening, but when you're experiencing it in real life and see it in film, it's like, oh man, it's rough stuff. So it's interesting, people sometimes don't really make that caveat and say, or not caveat, but that message and say, like, yeah, if you're dealing with this, or this, or what is it? What do they call it? Trigger warning? I think some articles use that as a, rather than a spoiler warning or something.
That's
trigger warning.
I never heard about that, but that's a good word for it.
Yeah, it's usually to do with, like, articles talking about sexual abuse or abuse or harassment in general.
Right.
You know, I've seen it alongside articles with, you know, the whole Gamergate and doxing and all that fun stuff that's happening. But trigger warning. Yeah, that's really good. And I'm going to check out this flick, because, you know, I don't watch enough serious movies. You know, I usually just keep it to, you know, I like to expand once in a while and say, you know what, I don't want to watch a comedy or an action film. Let's watch something with a little more depth to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I went fluffy with my other pick this week, and that mm-hmm. is I know that voice. It's a recommendation from Hammond Chamberlain, who's been on the show a couple times this fall, and it's a documentary about voice actors in Hollywood. Focuses on television cartoons. Also has a couple of guys that spread over into video games. Nolan North is a name that I recognize, and you probably would too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been anybody else that I've recognized right off the bat, but they probably all have done some video games at one point. But I recognize people more from their cartoon, I guess, fame. It's directed by Lawrence Shapiro and narrated by John DiMaggio, who is, of course, Bender from Futurama. He doesn't really do much of the Bender voice. Like, you watch all these interviews and you kind of are on the edge of your chair, like, just waiting for these people to drop into their characters and do something where you're just like, wow, it's like a cartoon voice coming out of a human being. And it only happens near the end, and it only happens more with the older voice actors. The younger people are, I feel like they're very careful with their craft. Like, if they're in an interview, they're not doing voices. The only time you hear them do voices is when it's B-roll of them actually at work. Like, they're recording, they're with the director, they're doing a voiceover. The camera for this documentary just happens to be there catching some footage. And that's when you see the acting take place. But when they're sitting in an interview, a lot of the younger guys and girls were careful not to do that. And I feel like it's like adding that value to what they're doing. Like, they want to separate and make sure that people get to know them and not just the voice that they're doing. It is really funny, though, when you can recognize characters from just listening to the people that are doing them. A couple people like, Kevin Conroy, for example, who does Batman in a lot of the Warner Brothers stuff, has been Batman for 20 years. Even when he just speaks, he still sounds like Batman. Like, you can still pick it up.
He just uses his Batman voice.
Yeah. Well, his natural speaking voice is much more like Bruce Wayne. Like, so when in the cartoons, when Bruce Wayne is just speaking at like a Wayne Enterprises meeting, that's more like Kevin Conroy's voice. He puts on kind of a darker thing for Batman. But other actors are in it, like Jim Cummings, Corey Burton, Greg Berger, Gray Delisle is in it. I feel like there's a couple of other people. I'm trying to remember one of the girls that did a lot of voices for... Rugrats was in it. I'm blanking on her name. Phil LaMarr is in it. Tom Kane, Nolan North, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good little documentary on Netflix to check out, and gives you some insight into what people are doing and how they achieve the sound that they want. Like the guy that did the voice for Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Clone Wars. Right. One, he's a very small guy with a very deep voice. He's a really unique looking individual. And he was explaining and showing how he was combining the things that he was hearing in different renditions of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, he was taking a little bit of Sir Alec Guinness. He was taking a little bit of actor X and actor Y and mm-hmm. his own spin. And he would do all three separately in conversation, explaining everything, and then seamlessly just combine it and say, and that's how I arrive at Obi-Wan Kenobi. And that's the only thing that he would say in that character's voice was just the name. And you're just kind of like, oh my God. Like, it's like watching someone tune an instrument, you know, like, and they go B flat, they do a drop D, they do like an F sharp, and then all of a sudden they just hit the right chord and everything just kind of comes together. It was brilliant to watch. So, I mean, if you're at all into voice acting and cartoons, like, you know, Futurama, SpongeBob was another one that was really funny. It's worth watching. I think it was the brainchild of John DiMaggio. Like, I think it was his idea to get the ball rolling on the documentary.
I love voice actors. It's funny when it comes to video games, I will like, oh, I love that voice actor. I can't wait to like find that character in game and just listen to their dialogue. And every time they have a new dialogue for me, I will be ecstatic. You know, Nathan Fillion's one of those people that I like. He is an NPC, probably one of the most generic NPCs in Destiny. And I'll be like just going around on my speeder bike, and then all of a sudden I get a quest from Nathan Fillion. I'm like, oh my God, guys, Nathan Fillion just gave us a quest.
Nice.
You know, Nolan North's another one. Interesting about, you mentioned the Obi-Wan guy. He's the voice actor of Clank in Ratchet and Clank.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah.
No kidding.
I think he is still. Yeah. He's really good in Ratchet and Clank. And I remember when they announced Clone Wars, I remember when I was getting into Ratchet and Clank, I saw that that he was Obi-Wan. I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna go watch that, you know. So it was really cool to see. It's really cool to see what these characters do outside of video games, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's neat. I'll have to check that out for sure. It's been on my list for a while.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's one of those things that you start it, you're like, yeah, I'll just watch this and see how good it's going to be. And then you're totally glued to it for like 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, James Arnold Taylor, right?
Yes, that's him. Yeah. He's featured heavily, actually. I'm surprised I didn't remember his name. And plus, I pay attention to the credits in Clone Wars because I'm always really interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so he's actually playing Ratchet in the new movie as well.
Hmm. Cool. Oh, there's a Ratchet and Clank movie?
Yeah, coming out in 2015. It's being animated by a Canadian company, actually.
Oh, cool.
I don't remember which one.
I'll have to check that out.
I remember it was pretty big when they announced it. Coming out in 2015 at some point. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
Hmm. I'm going to Google that right after the show.
Yeah, there is a trailer out there. So, yeah, definitely check it out. I was impressed.
I'm starting to have flashbacks. Maybe I've seen it and just forgot about it, but... Anyway.
Hopefully not because you didn't like it.
It
looked like one of the better video game movies that I've seen.
I really enjoyed those games. Yeah, I really enjoy those games. I'm a big fan of the Creature Box guys, and they're the production designers in a lot of those games for Insomniac. Is that the?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for what I've been watching. Have you been listening to anything worth mentioning?
Well. As is tradition when it comes to this weird, week/couple weeks of November, for every game I buy, I go out and buy the soundtrack. And this time is a little different. I actually didn't go out and buy the game, which was the Master Chief Collection, but did go out and buy the soundtrack, which was Halo 2 Anniversary Collection.
Hmm.
And it's basically the soundtrack from Halo 2 re-recorded and remastered. Like they re-recorded everything. They even made tweaks and stuff. They've added new tracks. And this is a double disc sort of iTunes collection. And it's awesome. Like, I just love Halo to death. And the music is one of those parts that I really love. So whenever there's new music, I just have to gobble it up and add it to my library. If you're a huge Halo fan and you don't own an Xbox One, this is also a great way to experience some new Halo without that $500 price tag.
Nice.
So that's what I've been listening to.
Right on. I actually got my hands on the soundtrack from Big Hero 6, which I raved about last week. The movie soundtrack is fantastic.
Sweet.
The album soundtrack, not so much. They have one, maybe two tracks that are the upbeat, energetic, action-packed superhero stuff from the movie. Everything else is really quiet and really somber, which is very bizarre, because the movie does not... You don't walk out of that film and go, I feel very at peace right now. You walk out of that movie going, I want to strap rockets to everything. Like, let's just go, 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 go. And the soundtrack was not at all what I was expecting. So I was really disappointed in that. And I can't recommend it. Like, I mean, I wish there was a second version. Like, I want the extended soundtrack to come out because I feel like there was just more that they just didn't include.
Right.
Because the movie is just so fast-paced and the music keeps up in the movie. But on the album, it wasn't that case at all. I mean, there are some good tracks. I mean, it's good music. It's not bad. It's just not what I was expecting. It didn't have the same feeling as the film. Because I've done that too. Like, when I played Batman Arkham City... I love the music from those games. And I went out and I got the soundtrack to Arkham City. And it is precisely what you expect. It just, you feel like you are beating up thugs the entire time that you're listening to that soundtrack. You know, there's the odd quiet moment with some like jingle bells and the Joker in there somewhere. But other than that, it's just all beat thugs up all the time. And that's what I wanted from Big Hero 6, was like action packed, flying around, rockets and lasers. And I didn't get that at all from the soundtrack. So that was a little bit disappointing. Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, this is the point in the show where we move on to the Internet Minute, and this is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. We are sponsored proudly by tweakedaudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit tweakedaudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout. That will get you free shipping and 30% off your entire order. Once again, that is TCC at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. I actually don't have a pick this week. I've been really busy and haven't been really browsing on the internet much. But you have one, Ryan.
Again, every time I come on here, I feel like it's just like, let's turn this into video game talk.
That's fine. Because I don't get time to play them anymore, so I have to live vicariously through you.
Cool. And on the note of Master Chief Collection, I've been trying to find an Xbox One owner to live vicariously through, but no one seems to want to bite the bullet on a $60 price tag that includes four awesome games. Who knew? But my internet pick this week is the Dragon Age Keep. One of the cool things about Inquisition is that it is the third in a series of very large games. And you've played all the Mass Effect franchises, which exist on a series of platforms that are within the same generation. Well, Dragon Age Inquisition has kind of jumped into the new generation of platforms with the PS4, Xbox One, and whatnot. And those games have been coming out for the last, I think, 10 years.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they... Well, it feels like 10 years. Let's go with that. So what they've done is they've created this website called the Dragon Age Keep. And what it allows you to do is sign in with your Origin account. It pulls in all your information from your BioWare account. No matter what platform you're on, it pulls in your characters, your achievements, and then allows you to experience the story of Dragon Age, the series, in one like 20-minute sort of video. And then you can go in and you can actually change your choices, because it doesn't actually pull your save games in. That would be really complex to like parse data from, you know, PS3, Xbox 360, all the way to, you know, a PC. If you played on different systems, you're looking at weird phenomena there. So what it does is it just pulls in base information, then allows you to choose specific choices. So I went through, picked all my choices that I thought were correct, and then it allows you to export that world into Inquisition. And then when you load up Inquisition, you know, when it's referring to your hero from the first game, it's using the proper gender. You know, it's if you're talking to someone you romanced in the first game, it's actually like using that information for good use, like saying like, oh, my love is off on a quest and I will go see her later on. And, you know, it's stuff like that. It's just a really nice touch. And the website's really slick and really good for players who have not played any of the Dragon Age games and want to get in there and experience the story. Because it's a really in-depth video. It's really good. Definitely check it out.
Cool. I like it when you can go back and review that kind of stuff. I feel like there were some videos that I watched when I moved from one game to the next, whether it was Warcraft or what have you. And I think it might have been before I got into Pandaria. I went back and I watched some trailers, or I watched some cinematics to just kind of bring myself up to speed. Because I didn't do any of the raiding content. Mm-hmm. You know, like I still haven't actually gone on a proper raid in Warcraft. So some of those story videos, those dramatic moments from previous expansions, I would miss, you know, and I would watch those. And I actually liked it. I liked the idea of being able to take, you know, what normally takes 20 or 40 hours of gameplay and just condense it into a 20-minute video, because it's those dramatic clips that you're getting 3 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and pushing them all together. I'd imagine over the course of 10 years that you could probably put together a decent little movie.
Yeah, it was actually interesting. I actually did a playthrough of my sort of experience with the Keep on my YouTube account. The video's up there. It's youtube.com/RyanMurphyCA. And you can watch that whole thing if you're not interested in going through it or not going to play Inquisition anytime soon, but still want to experience the website or even the story of the series. And it's really neat. Like, it's all custom animations, and it's not in engine. It's more like tapestry type art, like something you'd see in like a woven or ceramic type style of art.
Oh, nice.
2D, you know, fluid animations, all voiceover, and it actually allows you to pick choices on the fly while you're watching the video. So it'll say like, and this person did this, but having met these two people, the blah, 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 and the blah, 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 it'll actually show a little edit choice button. Mm. You can click that before it moves on into the actual decision. and then it changes it on the fly.
I like that websites are getting to the point that you can do that so quickly and have the results change and have it be seamless, because that, I mean, like, that's the ultimate, like, wet dream for comic artists and choose your own adventure books, right? Like, you imagine if you're watching kind of an animatic reel, so not necessarily a cartoon, but something that's like a story reel from an animated movie, or something like, I'm trying to think about those. It's like, what's the Walking Dead games that are like choose your own adventure?
The Telltale stuff franchise. Yeah, they could easily port that to the web.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff where it's not so much a game, but it's just like a story where you get to a point where, like, you have to either kill this person or don't, but you have a moment during the story to make that decision, and then as soon as you make that decision, it just keeps going. Like, there's no load screen, there's no whatever. Like, the website or the computer just knows, all right, they've chosen path B, just continue on that path and let's just keep going. It's that, to me, is really compelling from a story perspective, to have that interactivity in there. So just out of curiosity, if you have not played any of the other Dragon Age games, but you wanted to try Inquisition, could you either create or have an Origin account, go into Dragon Age Keep, and then just make the choices as if you were playing the game, and then just say, all right, well, I've created my own little 20-minute history here. Now I'm all set to play Inquisition with enough lore that I'm not going to be lost.
Yeah, what I would suggest to people who do that, like, definitely create an Origin account, log into Dragon Age Keep. It won't import anything, but skip the movie. Don't let it play. Actually go into what's called the Tapestry, and it looks like sort of a timeline.
Oh, cool.
And you can actually click into, so it says it's separated by games, so it'll say Dragon Age Origins, and then it'll say, like, Prologue, Companions, Act 2, Act 1, Act 3, and you can click in that, and it's like, so click on it, Companions, and it's like, oh, well, who did you romance? And you can pick, you can scroll through, and it'll actually say, like, this elf is the person who did this and did that and was very cool, and you can get a little more information than that, but, and then you can choose, like, yeah, if I was playing this game, that's the person I would romance. That's my, that would be my hero's choice. And you click it and you move on. And there's, I think, man, I went through every one. There's gotta be close to 50 choices that you can make. And it's all super detailed. And then once all your choices are locked in, you can go watch that film and then see some of your key choices represented in that animation. And then when it exports to Dragon Age Inquisition, you're good to go. And you kind of feel not only like you played those other games because you made those choices, but you also have, like, kind of the history of what's been going on in the past series.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it's really neat.
And that website is DragonAgeKeep.com.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CitadelCafe.com/live. Our mobile audio stream is provided by our friends at AlphaGeekRadio.com. You can also use the TuneIn app on your favorite mobile device to listen to Alpha Geek Radio. Just do a search for the name of the station, or visit mobile.AlphaGeekRadio.com on your mobile device and check out Channel 1 on Wednesdays. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and of course, this episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. To get in touch with the show, you can send an email to thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter or Facebook. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am up to online at joelduggan.com, and please check out my Patreon page. You can find that for my comic work as well as this podcast. It's a great way to support the kind of things that I'm doing, patreon.com/joelduggan. You can find me on Twitter with just my name, and my comic website is starcrossedonline.com. Ryan, where can people find you online?
Well, on Twitter, you can follow me at rmurphy. That's usually where I tweet all the things that I'm doing, but I'm also hoping to get back into my website, ryanmurphy.ca. I've been doing a lot of video content, mostly games, because that's what I do. Playing, like, short little 20-minute quick looks is what most people call them. I call them prepping the inn, sort of like just little 20-minute looks at games. You know, I can kind of get a feel for it, decide whether I want to keep going to discuss it on the Gamers Inn, or just kind of make the video be like what I experienced that game. And you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/RyanMurphyCA. And the newest one, like I said, was Dragon Age Keep, and had a blast going through that.
You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only romance two.
One of them is batshit crazy, though. They will come back in the second game and kill you.